Okay, so we're continuing now with batch number 5 of local news and features of Update Talking News Stoke. It's Tim and Liz. We've got 4 headlines for you coming up, and then we're going to do also after the headlines the one and only quiz questions with Liz, which we all look forward to. So excited to see what she has put together for us. So my headlines coming up first. Actually, I'll let Liz do her headlines first.
Fail to trial new product for visually impaired supporters, and Stoke-on-Trent's rich heritage celebrated in new interactive trail.
Okay, so my headlines are placard-waving residents demand A34 pedestrian crossing, and I've got work starts on controversial £955,000 town centre homeless hub. So those are my stories. So we're going to do for you now the one and only quiz with Liz.
Number one.
Fire away.
Oh, sorry, did I go too early?
Yeah.
Number one. The oldest alliance still in force. I think this is internationally. The oldest alliance still in force is a 1373 treaty between England and which other European country? I'm not sure if that means oldest alliance that England's got. Doesn't mention Wales, Scotland, Ireland, by the way. Or if that's an international alliance. The question just says the oldest alliance. So it's lasted from 1373 until the present day. It's between England and which other European country? Number two. What is the technical name for the breastbone? Number three. Morpeth is the administrative centre of which English county? I think that means it's the county town. I don't know why it says administrative centre. So which English county is Morpeth the administrative centre? Number four. How many sides does a decagon have? Number five. What name is given to the art or process of paper folding? Number six. My father's family name being Pirrip are the opening words to which Dickens novel? Number seven, which is the largest city by population in Australia? Number eight, the word renal relates to which organ of the body? And number nine, which waterway opened in 1801 links London with the Midlands? 10. Which word beginning with the letter C is given to the art of bell ringing? And the bonus question. The 2004 film Finding Neverland, starring Kate Winslet and Johnny Depp, is about the life of which author? And I've got a bonus question. This is a football question. I'll give you the answer in a minute. So you needn't wait till the end for this answer. Which is the only team in all 4 leagues, that's the Premiership, Championship and EFL 1 and 2, there's only one team out of all those 92 clubs, there's 91 clubs that have never done this. One club in all of that has beaten every single team that's in all the other 91.
I have no idea.
That's a bonus. I'll give you the answer to that in a minute.
Oh, well, in another batch.
Are you going to guess?
No. Well, because I can't actually give it away to them, because we give the answers when we give the answers.
No, I'm giving the answer to that in a minute.
Oh, why?
Well, there's a reason, you'll see.
Oh, okay. I don't have a clue, anyway. Okay, so I'm going to do the first story now, anyway. So I'm going to discuss placard-waving residents demand A34 pedestrian crossing. And by the way, we will give the answers to Liz's one and only quiz in a couple of batches' time. So more than 800 people are campaigning for a safe crossing on the A34, and they have signed a petition calling on Staffordshire County Council to create the pedestrian crossing at Titnisser, if I said that right. Stoke-on-Trent South MP. Yeah, well, I was close. Stoke-on-Trent South MP Alison Gardner is also backing the residents' campaign. Petition creator Jennifer Jolly, love that name, said every day adults and children take risk-filled journeys across this busy road, a hazard that no resident should need to face in a developed and caring community like ours. We call upon Staffordshire County Council to take decisive action. We request the implementation of a pedestrian crossing over the A34, thereby ensuring that the safety of all residents and visitors to our area. We respectfully ask that you bring about change and protect our community. County Councillor Ian Parry, who represents the Stone Rural area, received the petition. He said, "I have a petition of 824 residents who wish the council to know that the Tittenser is a vibrant village bisected by the fast-paced A34, and the road, while important for transportation, poses a significant danger to pedestrians due to a lack of safe crossing facilities. Every day, adults and children take a risk crossing this road. The residents are calling for Staffordshire County Council to take action on the implementation of a pedestrian crossing. The campaign has also been backed by Stafford Borough Councillor Alex Sandiford. He said the road presents a significant danger to older residents, parents and school children who need to cross safely. The community has come together to raise awareness of the issue, collecting signatures which have been submitted to the County Council. I stand with the residents in backing their calls for immediate action to make the crossing safer. Ensuring the safety of our residents is paramount, and I will continue to push the County Council to prioritise the urgent need." Staffordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Strategic Highways, Mark Deville, said, "We have been made aware of this and understand the safety concerns about access across the A34 by Councillor Pert and now by local residents through the petition. Safety is an absolute priority to us, and we will, of course, carefully consider and evaluate this request. This would need to form part of the next local transport plan to be taken forward as soon as resources allow." So over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us now in batch number 5.
Right, first of all, you want the answer to my question.
Yeah, go on.
I thought you'd get my first question, is my first article. I'm reading from my phone. I'm apologising now if this is because it's hard for me to read. But the answer is Port Vale. Port Vale. Some of the teams they've beaten were a very, very long time ago. For example, they beat Arsenal in 1901. Now, my team have been knocked out of the Champions League. I'm supporting Arsenal tonight. That's very unusual. Very, very unusual. Yes, the answer to that question was Port Vale. They're the only team. Aren't you impressed with your local team, Tim?
Yes.
He's just said yes. I don't think he is.
I am. I'm incredibly impressed.
Now, it is impressive, that.
I am.
This article that I'm reading, it's written on the 7th of April, so it's written before the match against Bromley, so it's slightly out of date because Vale beat Bromley. They previously drawn with Bromley, but because they beat Bromley, they've now got this record of beating all 91 teams. Are you sick of me saying that?
Yeah.
Right. Vale to trial new product for visually impaired supporters. "We are delighted to be one of a select group of clubs chosen to work alongside Field of Vision to trial a new product for visually impaired supporters as part of the EFL's Innovation Lab. Starting at next week's league game against Bromley," so that's slightly out of date, "at Vale Park, we will be testing the company's product, which offers a real-time experience that allows visually impaired supporters experience live sports independently and simultaneously with sighted spectators." About Field of Vision. Field of Vision is dedicated to making live sports accessible to visually impaired fans, inspired by the challenges visually impaired sports supporters face at stadiums. Their solution tracks ball movement in key events with minimal latency, instantly transmitting real-time data to tactile devices. Supporters interact with a magnetic ball that mirrors the live ball's movement alongside subtle vibrations indicating events such as passes, tackles and goals. This complements existing audio descriptive commentary, that's ADC, addressing limitations by providing immediate tactile feedback. Port Vale's community and CSR director Will Turner said, We're really pleased to be involved in this trial, which supports our ongoing efforts to make the club as accessible as possible for everyone. We're looking forward to seeing the product in action and receiving feedback from those involved in the trial, including the supporters and volunteers, including two members of the club's supporter advisory board who are giving up their time to support this initiative. The EFL Innovation Lab is an initiative designed to foster collaboration between the football industry and innovative suppliers, startups and scale-ups. As the first of its kind in the UK, this programme enables the league to drive innovation both within its operations and throughout the global football community. Tickets for the game are still available, priced at just £10 in all areas of the stadium, with under-12s free of charge. And it says visit port-vale.co.uk/tickets. So I'll do that again. So that's port-vale.co.uk/tickets. All that's in lowercase. So that's where to go if you want more information. I think me and Tim are going to contact them because we're quite impressed with that. Aren't we, Tim?
We are. And I'll try to go to one of those matches and drag Liz along, even though she's not particularly a fan. But we'll...
I am a fan.
Of Port Vale?
Well, I haven't got this Vale Stoke thing. I like both of them to do well.
Okay.
I'd like Vale to... Well, they will be promoted, bearing a total disaster. Bearing in mind a disaster, Stoke should be safe. And my team was so brilliant last night, even though they lost. I think we're going to win the FA Cup now. That's Villa.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
People who listen to this may not be interested in football.
And what? Well, what's quite nice about going to Port Vale is it's quite close to my house. So it's not actually too far to get there. Okay, so my next story for you now is work starts on controversial £955,000 town centre homeless hub. It's started to convert former town centre offices into a new homeless hub back in September last year, 2024. Newcastle Borough Council secured planning permission for the facility at International House, which is a disused office building on Stubbs Gate in Newcastle, which will include accommodation for up to 12 homeless people and a drop-in centre which will be open during weekdays. It will only be allowed to operate for a year before it's reviewed, after dozens of residents raised concerns over crime and antisocial behaviour. Councillors said this would allow them to see if residents' fears provide to be justified. The council said nearby residents had already been shown plans for the building named Navigation House and will be kept updated as work progresses. According to the local authority, the detached building was chosen because it's close to the town centre in an enclosed site and has an internal courtyard with a well-positioned management office. The Borough Council will spend £955,000 from the UK Shared Prosperity Fund on the homeless hub. Councillor Jill Heesam, Newcastle Under Lyme's Borough Council's Cabinet Member for Community Safety and Wellbeing, said Navigation House will only be used to help people sleeping rough so that they don't experience a second night on the streets, as well as helping vulnerable members of our community in a moment of need. This changes the perception of what's happening in our town centre and makes it less intimidating to some. Once it's up and running, monthly meetings will be scheduled with nearby residents. Planning permission for the change of use was granted for 12 months, with a review of its impact to be carried out after it's operated for 12 months a year. Councillor Heesam added it's important that Navigation House is a good neighbour during construction and then afterwards. Its presence will make a difference to people's lives, but we don't want it to affect those living nearby either. Navigation House will offer practical support to people to either improve or maintain their situation. Users can be put in touch with different services, housing associations, the Department for Work and Pensions, and offered financial advice when needed. So over to Liz, who's going to do her final story for us in batch number 5.
Stoke-on-Trent's rich heritage celebrated in new interactive trail. Families can tap into Stoke-on-Trent's rich heritage in a new interactive trail. And the weekend launch of the route saw scores of people take part, where they were guided by a newly illustrated map and app. The route, which takes around an hour on foot, takes in what council leaders have dubbed important aspects of Stoke-on-Trent's heritage. Starting at the Spode Works in Stoke, it takes in locations such as Stoke Minster, Winton Square, Hanley Park, St Mark's Church, before concluding at Hanley's Potteries Museum and Art Gallery. Those involved in the project says it helps unearth rich stories of our city. It also comes as Stoke-on-Trent is in its centenary year. The map, designed by talented local artist Kidder Kinsey, highlights 14 locations to check out. Meanwhile, the accompanying app includes interactive videos and audio, which navigates users through the heritage locations along the trail and shares stories from the local community. It comes as part of the Living Heritage City project, which was first unveiled in 2023 as a two-year pilot scheme funded by the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, that's the UKSPF. Since then, the trail, which flags up culturally significant locations between Stoke and Hanley, has been developed alongside a new route. Back in 2023, Stoke-on-Trent Live took a walk along the initial heritage trail, which went between Stoke and the city centre. However, it's now been improved to coincide with the Potteries centenary celebrations. On Saturday, it was a big turnout for the launch of the revamped trail. Stoke-on-Trent's Lord Mayor and heritage champion, Councillor Lynn Sharp, has urged people to have a go. Councillor Sharp, who was at the Stoke launch on Saturday, said, "I am so proud to be able to launch the Living Heritage City Pilot Trail during our centenary year. 2025 is a year to celebrate our wonderful city and everything that makes it what it is, and that includes our rich history. We'd like to thank all of our residents and partners who have walked the Heritage Trail and helped us to develop it over the last 2 years. We've had some great feedback. I would encourage anyone who hasn't experienced it yet to try and find some time to do it. You won't regret it." The walk was launched at the Spode Rose Garden, Anna Francis of the Friends of Spode Rose Garden said, "We have loved leading a series of walks from the garden up to the Potteries Museum. We are so pleased to be able to unearth such rich stories of our city and the connections between ceramics and gardens through the new app. We are sure people will love exploring the city with this great new resource." She told Stoke-on-Trent Live at the launch, We started volunteering in the Rose Garden in 2013. And the reason we named it Spode Rose Garden is because there were beautiful rose bushes in between the weeds. It was a delicate space and we've created the garden and we volunteer here every Friday. We always welcome anyone who'd like to join us. We wanted to celebrate the potential of what the garden would be. Each trail represents the city in different ways. You get to uncover beautiful stories about the city and help people to reimagine the city through walking it. It's a fabulous day for it. It's a celebration of what the city is about. It's for people interested in heritage and walking, and it's a really good way to see your city. Talented ceramic flower maker and designer Rita Floyd was also at the launch to showcase her skills. She's previously helped create the bone china rose in the middle of the garden. Among those at Saturday's event was Steve Levitt, one half of the We Love Stoke project. Stephen said, "It's a great turnout, and the last time we walked from Spode Rose Garden to Hanley Park, it's great as a social gathering. We spoke to strangers, which was nice, and we made friends along the way who we've seen since." Philip Boothby of Longton, who also took part, said, "It's been an excellent project. It's made lots of people happy to see the support it's got. When you've got that support and togetherness, there's a sense of magic you can't put into words." It was a busy day in Stoke as the newly created Fenton Mace was also brought into town, as historic buses made the short trip over the A500. It was presented in Stoke Town Hall as Fenton has finally got its own stunning piece of regalia.